come back to center, and Austin Matthews is on it. Slides it up ahead. Here's Marner. Hit along left side to the net. Great play. He scores. How about that move by Mitch Marner? Make that point streak 16 games. And here comes Bunting. Down the right side into the Penguin zone. He fell, but he slides it in front. Great play. Matthews scores. What a play by Bunting to set it up for Austin Matthews in the slot. He snaps it home past the blocker into Smith, and it's a 4-1 Toronto lead. Letang can't get the puck through to the net. Here's Crosby firing. That one is stopped, and this one is over. Toronto wins it 4-1 as they outshoot Pittsburgh 41-26.
Maple Leafs can't be stopped. Hottest team in the league. Back-to-back wins on the road.
Who needs your three best defensemen?
You're even better without them.
They might be. At least right now.
Statement wins this weekend against the Wild and the Penguins. Got to be feeling good about where your Maple Leafs are. I am. Mitch Marner leading the way. 16 game point streak. Number 16.
There
numbers,
you go.
Numbers.
Yeah, Mitch Marner's been on an absolute roll. An absolute roll. He's been fantastic. But really, you can be hard pressed to find anyone who's not playing well for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, which is a great, great thing.
I think people like Mitch Marner
sliding
now?
Into that comfort zone. Yeah, I think they do. Yeah.
Everyone's going back and deleting their tweets. They were just doing that thing where you search at @Ehlers4Afar, quote, Marner, and then you're looking at everything you ever tweeted.
Right, yeah,
quick
yeah, yeah.
deletes.
That's why you don't tweet.
Shambles in our brains.
He did provide us with the
quote that we can go back to every time we want, or we have shambles in our brains. No, I mean, I think that's all calmed down. It's all calmed down. Everything's calm. Everything's calm with the Maple Leafs. Everything's good.
Call me in the playoffs.
That's it now. I kind of worry about the calmness, though, because we were talking to Frank last week, and we were talking about 60 preseason games left. Mm-hmm. It feels like they're into that mode.
Calmness can become complacency. So you just got to keep an eye on that.
I guess that's why it's good that there's a couple injuries, because you can't really get complacent. You got to be on your toes, and just being on their toes has produced great results so far.
Certainly has. I felt like that was going to be me this morning, on my toes.
You were fully on your toes, on the balls of your feet, at least.
Justin showed up uncharacteristically late. Not late.
I didn't think we were going to bury
no,
me.
No.
This is about you.
You were always early, and you were a little later. Mm-hmm. And I sat here like, uh-oh, what do I do? And I started reading the rundown. Okay, I could probably kill like 30 minutes here by myself. Maybe we just like have an extended A-list, play a lot of audio. And then he walked in, and I felt much better. But I was here since.
Well, that's the context.
Well, everybody knows that listens to the show that I had a big weekend of moving. And I got here at 5 a.m. because it took much less time than I had expected to drive across the city, 5.4 kilometers to be exact, from door to door.
You know what? You might get closer and closer to actually revealing where you live, especially with
the exact distance. But now I shouldn't. Maybe there's someone's going to do the calculation of how fast I was driving, but I didn't hit a red light, and I got here.
I hit every red light.
Okay,
that's my excuse.
I got here in let's say 12 minutes across the whole city. That's never happened. Sometimes it takes 12 minutes to make a right hand turn.
Yeah,
on University Avenue.
Yeah.
And I just ripped across the city. I didn't see a soul. It was kind of like serene, and I was just like listening to our station, just daydreaming about what we're going to say first on the air. And I showed up so early that I even went to a local coffee shop, the only one that's 24 hours. And
got yourself a little treat.
Got myself a coffee. And I just like, what do you do for an hour before work? Nobody was here. I just sat here and was like, watch some World Cup. Anyway, so I'm fired up. I've been awake for a lot. I've been functioning for an hour and a half at this point. It's kind of nice. Maybe I should do that more often.
Your brain's on. Yeah, that is one of the best things about driving to work early hours.
It's beautiful.
No one on the road is so...
I felt like I was in a music video.
It is so nice.
Like the lights.
Especially Toronto. When Toronto's empty, when there's no one on the street, it's just, there's something peaceful about it. I'm not sure exactly.
I think I might like being a commuter in the morning. But on the way back in the afternoon, I'm going to hate my life.
It's going to take you forever to get home.
Because I'm going across the city at 9, 9:30, 10, when it's just going to be gridlock. And I get a little, I'd say one of my least.
You'd be better off taking the highway down. I might. Down.
One of my least desirable qualities is I get road rage. Like,
really?
I just get, but like, I just.
I can't see that.
No, I wouldn't like honk at anyone, but I'm just like, what are you doing? You're a moron. Like, and the worst thing for me is when you're behind somebody and you get up to light and then they put their left hand turn signal on when you're stuck behind them. I honestly want to ram someone. Just be polite. Like, if you know you're turning left at this light, like, signal, let me get around you and I'll continue with my day. Mm-hmm. It really pisses me off.
The intersection closest to my house is notorious for everyone turning right I'm waiting to turn left. But because everyone turns right, no one uses their signal. And you can't just assume because they could rip right past you. So it's like every time I get to that light, someone is turning right but not using their signal. And it's like constant over and over and over again frustration.
I think every day I'll have a story on my way home. And one more thing. Are you the type of person where you look at the flashing hand to see, okay, there's 5, 4?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I speed up for sure. I rip through the intersection.
I mean, it's a good thing they have that because it is so jarring when you don't have that and it just changes. Like an old, like, on my way to my parents, there's no flashing light and people are going fast on the road.
Oh, it's trouble.
So it's like you're finding the spot where it's like, okay, I'm committing at this 1 second whether I'm going through or not.
Anyway,
you're slamming on the brakes.
The computer, the commuter life. And as of this morning, half of my day, my one trip, has been an absolute delight.
You're really happy.
And I'll let you know on the way home. Because
this is the back half's going to be.
Adelaide is close to one lane, and it's like kind of the one you have to cut across.
We're getting more specific now.
There's some trouble spots that I'm going to have to be actively avoiding.
I don't think you can go home the same way.
No.
Well, Adelaide is a one way, so you actually can't. But
anyway, get ready every day. I almost hit someone. Blah blah blah. I would never. But when I mean road rage, I don't mean like I'm like visibly. I'm just like mentally, like I hate you.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not rude.
Oh, I think you'd probably be a little rude.
I've never honked at someone actually in my entire life.
Well, honking is a defensive thing. You should honk.
I've never had to.
I actually get criticized for not honking because I'm just like trying to avoid cars hitting me. They're like, why don't you honk? I'm like, I'm just, you know, that's not the first thing that came to my mind.
It's kind of jarring.
Trying to not have a collision was the first thing on my mind. I will say, though, it's generally peaceful. Today, I just drove by a car that was just completely mangled on the way.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unsettling.
So it's like, yeah, there's no one on the road here, but then you're reminded, oh, yeah, you should probably be careful.
Did you stop to help?
No. It was already, police were there.
Oh. I don't believe you.
I swear to God. Police, right. Fire truck.
You can always listen to one of our stations, 680 News, for all of your travel needs.
And you listen to you on
and
there now.
And this morning I was here so early, just sitting by my lonesome, that the lovely folks at 680 News came over and said, hey, can we interview you live on the radio?
What'd you talk about?
The World Cup.
We should get
good
to that.
Segue.
We should get to that.
But I got to go and actually kickstart my day with a little practice run on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The first words I spoke out loud.
You get to try out a take.
The first words I spoke out loud. 680 News got me live on air. So maybe you were listening to that before we come on the air. You're just checking out the traffic. Anywho, the question was, how do you feel about Canada?
That's what they asked you?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you feel?
I mean, we weren't doing analysis on 680 News.
Well, I'm just...
It's more of like
there's other ways to ask the same question. That's what we're experts at.
They said, what are your feelings? It's a tough one to unpack. Canada loses 4-1 to Croatia. They got effed.
They're done at the World Cup.
Effed, as Don Herman would put it.
Yeah.
I just, that whole stuff we'll get into, but I think there is justification to feel a few feelings.
Sure. What are those feelings?
I'm left wanting a little bit more from that performance.
Like from, I think there's levels of wanting more from. So what do you want more from? Like what specifically?
Well, they come up and they start the game with just the Canadian heritage moment. The first goal ever scored in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Elation across Canada.
How did you experience that moment?
I was in a moving elevator.
Mm. So really the only moment you already knew about?
I came
like
back
you did
up.
Watch the game. Did
so
you?
I was like I was in and out of the moving elevator and it was on. So I came back upstairs and they had scored and I was so upset. But I rewinded it, watched with my parents. My mom started crying.
Okay.
Crying. I said, what are you doing? She's like, I don't know. It's emotional. And it was nice to experience that together. I didn't get it live, but I got it like 1.5 minutes later. Same thing. I got the notification on my phone, which sucked, and then I went back up. So you can feel absolute delight and exuberance from that moment. But then you lose 4-1. And there's left there's feelings of a little bit of disappointment. But at the same time, it's Croatia, who's the runner-up from the last World Cup. I don't think we were expected to beat them at all. But when you start the game with a lead and it's so exciting, it's less than 2 minutes into the game. Like, I think my imagination went a little wild that we were going to win this game handedly. Maybe we'll get another one. Like, And then you lose. And that's a disappointing feeling. Tactically, like on paper, they have one of the best midfields, Croatia, in the whole tournament. Like, they exploited the slower side of Canada and they won the game and they were the better team to win the game.
I take a little issue. You said they weren't expected to win the game. I think we kind of bought in, didn't we?
That they were going to win?
I think we bought in that they were going to maybe not necessarily win the game, but compete, get a result.
For sure.
Maybe prolong the World Cup at least.
100%,
like we bought in with Kerbin's comments, with the way they played against Belgium.
That's
Morocco
right.
Beating Belgium was actually a bad thing in the moment. I'm like, oh, wow, this opens things up. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't go through the tie-breaking scenarios at that point, but I thought in the moment, well, it's wide open. It's wide open here. Anyone can win this group, and Canada's just as good as these three other teams.
But I would say all of our expectations changed, and that's
when did it change?
After we saw that we competed really well against Belgium. And I think people get a little bit confused with the FIFA world rankings, but they're number two. Like, FIFA world rankings don't really mean that much. Like, I think we got overzealous.
We got sold a bill of goods a little bit.
But that's okay. I would have rather felt like there was a chance. I wouldn't want to watch that game on yesterday with, like, the idea that we were going to get dummied.
Yeah, I think the change in expectation changed the way I feel about it, I guess.
So how do you feel?
Because we did feel, I feel a little naive.
All right, I understand.
I feel a little
that.
Embarrassed. I think.
I don't think you should feel embarrassed.
Tail kind of tucked between the legs a little bit.
Whoa, that's.
I don't know. I'm surprised you don't feel that a little bit. Because we came out here and we, like, okay, we played well against Belgium. We still lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start talking that smack. And I don't know if we know even how to, once Canada got kind of put in its place from the media perspective and Herdman didn't really want to go there anymore mm-hmm. and he was trying to deflect, it was just like, okay, maybe we shouldn't have said that. And then the goal's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost so surprising that it wasn't, like there was no build up to it. It just mm-hmm. happened. It was like, oh my God. But then from that moment on, and I saw some people saying, yeah, Canada was great for 20 minutes, half hour. I thought it was so obvious mm-hmm. immediately after that they were outclassed.
Okay, so
like immediately.
You say naive,
after.
I say humbled. Because we went in with expectations.
They were definitely humbled.
We were humbled. And that's the reason that I'm not fully on the same page as you is because I still feel an immense source of pride that we got to this state. We exceeded expectations to make the World Cup. We got here.
Can that be the only source of pride here, though? Like, are we more proud now based on two games than we were from them getting there?
I don't think so. I'm proud about the goal.
So we weren't able to extend the emotion, the good feelings
about it.
Well,
you know what?
It is what it is, which is just getting there.
And that can be settling for a lot of people. Like, you got here, you now know what a world-class World Cup opponent looks like.
Still 66-1, though, Croatia to win. Like, this isn't France.
No, I understand that, but
and that game could have been
8-1. So that's where the humbling thing is. That's the humbling thing, is you're not even in the top echelon. It's close to the top, and I get that. But think about it. You have 4 years to find ways to develop. You saw Croatia had experience. That made the hell of a difference as well. Like, mm-hmm. they've been there. They know what needs to happen to control a game.
What did we say about Belgium? Like, once the game state changed, it was Canada had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Once the game state changed here, even with a Canada goal, Canada had nothing. Because then it's like, okay, we have to be different. And then Croatia's just like, okay, this is easy now.
So there's the championship pedigree. You know, like, you get there to the final. You know what it takes. And Canada doesn't have that. Canada's like an infant put into a massive opportunity to impress, and they were just young and inexperienced, I would say.
I thought the young, inexperienced, the athleticism would carry them further. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like it wouldn't matter that much that the other team was more talented on paper or more experienced on paper.
See, that's where your expectations, we got a little...
Yeah, I just thought that being what they were would have been enough to be more competitive. But really, any change, any tactical switch, any change in game state completely flummoxed them. Like, completely took them out of what they wanted to be. And that goal almost worked against them in ways, because I feel like there was no easing into the game.
Yep.
It was like, okay, we're on.
Oh, my God,
and
we
once
scored.
We're on, Croatia knows exactly what to do, and we had no idea. Like, that was, that again, I said it could have been six. Like, it could have been a complete blowout. Borjan made a lot of saves. There was a goal called back early that I think we forget about because they filled the net before halftime anyway. It could have been really, really ugly. And it feels like, okay, this was going to be a step in the right direction. Getting here, huge accomplishment. 4 years more important, eight years more important. And it's going to be different 4 years and 8 years down the line because they're automatically in there 4 years and the tournament is being expanded. So this is the only time we're going to maybe see like a group this difficult, an opponent this much of a step up in class. But it feels to me like 4 years might not even be enough.
Well, it's going to be super interesting to see how they learn from their prep for this. And the players that need to develop in the next 4 years is a substantial step in talent right now. And maybe finding new players that are to add to this roster. Like, you're not there. Like, it's easily stated.
I don't expect them to win the World Cup in 4 years.
No.
But it would be so disappointing if you're handed the opportunity to be there and the same thing happens. And I guess one of my worries, maybe the thing that is biting me and like that's like in the back of my head is like Canada soccer stumbled all the way here. They are here in spite of their players to a certain degree. Like, they fumbled this. They didn't know how to act once they got there. A lot of things were wrong. And now it's all on Canada soccer to make sure that they are better next time. It's going to take funding. It's going to take making sure these players get to better destinations to play at the club level.
Yes.
It's going to take a lot for them to get better. It's not just going to be, oh, we got good players, they're going to get... No, they're going to have to pour resources into this to be better than they were. And it's 4 years is a short time, and I don't know how automatic it is that you will get better.
It's going to take a lot of work.
But and I don't know if I have the trust in the organization.
Okay, well, that's justified, but 4 years, this is your opportunity to kind of get here and think, wow, we're not as close as we thought. There's a lot that needs to change. Here are world-class teams that do it this way. This is how you act at the world stage, which is something that is certainly a conversation point. We're also going to have Jeff Blair on the show later at 8 a.m., which will be great to unpack this because, as we're saying, lots of emotions. Yeah. I just want to say, text in at 590-590. I think it's really interesting to see how people are going to evaluate so far. I know there's one more game, and this next game is a big get a result game. Like, I think that Canada...
That's another thing that kind of sucks about it is like...
It doesn't mean anything, but go out strong. Like,
it means the world to Morocco. It means nothing already
to Canada.
Canada
can be spoiler.
And if they won a game on the... Like, it's the way everything worked out, right? If it was Morocco first, maybe you shock Morocco. Mm-hmm. If you get that win against Belgium, you tie Belgium, we already have a result. We can feel good about things. The third game does matter. Now, two games in, third game doesn't matter. You could get the floor wiped with you again. Like, it's
they're one of
the
two
way
teams
it's worked out has been
eliminated right now in the World Cup. Two. Qatar and Canada are the only team that are eliminated.
In terms of qualifying teams, Canada might have the single worst showing at the World Cup. Australia won. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica won. Those are the teams we could count on being better than. And unfortunately, Canada has this, especially with the dramatics and the headline stuff and the controversies. Like, Canada has submitted maybe the single worst World Cup bid, which sucks. It sucks that we're in that position, but that's kind of the reality.
590-590, your thoughts, your feelings, how you're unpacking this. Obviously, the World Cup hasn't ended for Canada, but we know when it will. The games that matter to the standings for Canada are over. They're out. How much are you looking at that Belgium game as a missed opportunity? Like, as you said, things would have been very different, and mm-hmm. you can't go back and change that. But you think about those moments and those missed opportunities, and that would have changed what yesterday's game meant and what Thursday's game means. And that's just easily stated.
Another important thing, talking about, you know, how much development is ahead, how important the next 4 years are mm-hmm. to making sure it's not like this next time. Will John Herdman even be here?
Yeah, let's talk about John Herdman.
If John Herdman, like, let's say there's a little give and take here. Maybe he frankly hasn't had a great World Cup. There were a lot of holes or a lot of things to nitpick yesterday from him. He's, of course, had the Croatia battle in the headlines. It's been very headline grabbing. It hasn't necessarily been a smashing success for him.
And it's distracted from what we're focusing on too. I don't know what it means to the players, but to me, it's kind of, I don't want to use the word embarrassing, but this is your first time at the world stage.
Yeah, and it has not gone well.
It didn't go well for you.
His tournament reflects the team's tournament.
Exactly.
100%. It's been one of the worst managerial performances probably as well, given that you can point at several things that he has maybe done wrong.
Yes.
Both tactically, on the pitch, no adjustments, and of course, stoking the fire here with Croatia. But I think there are higher ambitions for him. He might want to do something else. And if there's like a little game of chicken here, like, we got to get right to it. You leave Qatar and you start working on the next 4 years. And if there's a process where it's like, I don't know if I'm coming back, I might be there, I might, you know, entertain this offer, then how long is he holding Canada back from where it needs to go? Like, getting on the same page, getting things organized and being ready. So and who knows if you get even a manager that's half as good as John mm-hmm. Herdman. So there's a lot to be.
I would be surprised if he's not leading this team.
You would?
Yeah.
I think he wants to leave.
Oh, okay. So you mean in terms of him, I don't think Canada Soccer is looking to make that decision themselves.
I don't think they would. I think they want him to be the manager.
Yes, okay.
I don't know if he had eyes on doing something else.
So he doesn't shake the Croatian manager's hand post-game.
That too.
He has the comments, obviously, that we all know about. We're going to go F Croatia next. Then the Croatian players, as I kind of said on Friday, is this going to give them bulletin board material? It did. They said, hey, thanks to the Canadian coach for giving us fuel and motivation. That's part one. Some of them said, this one goes out to the Canadian coach. We showed who effed whom. Like, I know those are little comments.
This is low-hanging fruit, though.
I'm just giving you the lay of the land of what happened over the last 3 days with John Herdman. Whether you think whatever it's a passing comment or not, the Croatian team heard about it. You saw the media, the Croatian newspapers with the photoshopped naked mm-hmm. Herdman with... And like, yeah, that's what happens when you play at the world stage and the stakes are high. But it's just... It seemed like a little bit of an inexperience of dealing with the moment in the market.
That's the perfect word. I think Herdman showed his inexperience. I think he showed that this was his first time here. Because maybe that was intentional. Maybe he wanted to try and fire up his team, and in order to do that, he had to offend the Croatian team. Maybe that was all part of the plan. He knows that team better than anyone. However, he miscalculated because they weren't going to F Croatia. Mm. In any world. It didn't, like, Croatia didn't need that motivation.
They still would have won 4-1.
Exactly.
Maybe
they wouldn't have added the last one. Maybe they wouldn't have been so decisive and, you know, like hockey, you throw with the power play at the end. Like, maybe they were just on the whole time because they wanted to shove it in Canada's face. Maybe that's the case. But there should be no shortage of motivation. Like, at the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, Croatia's not like, oh, we're going to get up for this game now because the Canada coach said they're going to F us. Like,
exactly.
I don't think it made a difference in the in their readiness, but it certainly is.
It just gave them.
I didn't like it.
It just gave them an opportunity to stunt on Canada. That's all it did. And they were going to do it anyway.
Okay, in terms of, so we know what the off-the-field stuff is, whether you like it or not, whatever, I don't care. Atiba Hutchinson not being subbed out. When John Herdman asked him in the 55th minute, and he was getting a little bit slow, he asked him.
Shouldn't be any questions.
Yeah, he asked him if he wanted to get subbed out, and he said, no, I want to keep playing. That's not when you make the decision as the coach. Who is going to put you in the best position to win the game? I don't like that. I think there's a little bit of, oh, this is our leader. This is our guy. He's in his 100th cap. Like, he was, you know, he's the guy. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. If you're at the World Cup and you're playing the emotional heart card, you're going to get dummied by a team that's way faster and is exploiting your weak players on the back end. So I didn't like that.
No, I don't think there's anything to like about how he handled his in-game adjustments, because there was no answer. But yeah, you can't be asking questions. You have to make the right decisions. And when Jonathan Osorio got out there, there was a little change in the game. Like, Osorio was clearly better in the central midfield than Atiba Hutchinson was at any point. And you're right. I think you can't ask questions. It can't be a respect thing. You got to make sure that you have autonomy, that you're making the decisions mm-hmm. that are best for the group. And maybe he didn't have the right card to pull, so he didn't pull it.
Sure.
Like, it wasn't going to affect anything. The way that they got dominated in midfield was, frankly, that was the most humbling thing. It was just, they had nothing. They had nothing. No answer. Eustaquio went down. Like, they just ran out of bodies, ran out of gas, ran out of everything. Ran out of hope, really.
Mm-hmm.
But not even trying, not having a difficult conversation. It wouldn't have even been a difficult conversation. He just left the choice up to Atiba. And if you're a competitor, you're going to stay in there.
Imagine, like, I know Atiba's a leader, but he wants to lead out on the field. He's not going to say, I'll go sit on the bench. Like, this is, you know, it's like your captain wanting to lead the team. I didn't expect him to say, I'll come off.
And this is why I feel a little naive, is like, Atiba's played, what, a couple games this year, barely made it to the World Cup, 39 years old. And I know Luka Modric is old, 37, but he's still playing the midfield for Real Madrid. Yeah. Mateo Kovacic, I'm a Chelsea fan, so I'm not the big, like, I don't think he's fit into there as well as mm-hmm. he's fit into Croatia, but he's an absolute superstar for Croatia when he plays with Modric. Like, they had no chance, even with Eustaquio at full health, which he wasn't, and whoever they wanted to pair in the midfield with him, it just was never going to be good enough. But again, you got to try, and he didn't try. He just kept rolling with Atiba, who couldn't keep up and keep the pace with anyone out there.
I'm going to read a couple texts here. Keep them coming at 590, 590, how you're feeling about Canada soccer ending their competitive World Cup. They got one more game on Thursday to hopefully make a statement, go out on a high note, look forward to 4 years from now where you're partially hosting this tournament, figure out like how you can be a competitor at the world-class stage. Wes on the 400. Extremely proud of this team. Kids and I jumped off the couch for the Davies goal. I felt the tactics changed after the goal. Pressed hard against Belgium, sat back after a goal, and didn't pressure players like they did to Belgium. Regardless, impressed with the players' quality. Can't wait for Morocco.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely feel a little more hopeful than I feel. I think you nailed it. Once the tactics, changed, mm-hmm. there was just no chance, whether it was up a goal, down a goal. I guess what I disagree with is can't wait for Morocco, because I just feel like it's not going to be even remotely the same as what it should have been. Even if there was just the smallest chance, 0.5% chance of getting through with this game, it would mean a lot.
Well, obviously.
And now it's like, okay, does Herdman throw out some guys who weren't going to see time?
Maybe they want to get World Cup experience. I get it.
Does Morocco just hammer them because they are so desperate for a win themselves? The group is in Morocco's hands. If they win the group, I believe. So, I don't know.
Jason from Hamilton. I was extremely disappointed by the coach's comments. Yes, he was using that to fire up his team, and I'm sure coaches say like that each day. However, they don't get caught saying that, rather unprofessionally and distracting, and I think that played a factor.
Yeah, and it would have played a factor in a good way if they'd won. Like, we'd be like, Canadian heritage moment.
100%.
Apped up Croatia. Like, it would have been.
It'd be on the $20 bill somewhere.
It would be everywhere. It would have been a great, great thing. It would have been a rallying point. It would have been the story, probably, of the World Cup for Canada if it was positive. Now, I guess it is the story, but it's just negative.
Mike and Asinaboya, Herdman's comments definitely made a difference. To say what he said about a team who lost in the final last World Cup, when you're coaching a team who's never even scored a goal, it looks terrible on him in Canada.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, we talk about the power play when you're up 5-1. I guess in soccer, there can be the sort of gentleman's, okay, we'll sit back type of deal.
At the World Cup, a goal differential makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe at 3-1, you don't need the fourth, but you're right.
I would never
either way
want my team to let up. I don't even care if you're Brazil or one of the top dogs. Like, you're going to play. Obviously, not put your players in a situation where they might get hurt.
And they put on three. They had a full line shift up front, and those three players produced that fourth goal. So, yeah, it didn't matter.
Rick and Markham, is it too far-fetched for Herdman to skip or a club team and still skip the Canadian team? Like, can you do both? Is what he's asking.
No, no. Canada is full-time job.
Lighten up, Justin. They've come so far. Croatia's a top four team. They'll only improve.
Will they improve, though?
Well, that's the big picture.
What were you saying in 86? Oh, they'll be back in 4 years, right? And then
that's
it took 36 years to get back.
I think some of the, and I listened to a Kick in the Grass post-game with some of our Sportsnet hosts, and one of them will be on our show, Jeff Blair, and he brought up a really good point. They played, and he put it soft or cream puff teams to get to, like, to get here.
Okay.
They played CONCACAF.
I don't know. Azteca, Mexico
yeah,
is not
sure.
exactly
but
a cream puff team.
And I thought he brought a good point. They've played like three in the last 4 years teams that are in like the African or European league that are actually high level competitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're playing teams that are CONCACAF all the time and getting wins, like Krakow or whatever, Curacao, you're playing these teams that like, you know what I mean? Like it's, there is a level of, you need to play some competitive teams.
And
like Qatar, that was when we look back and you're like, well, look how they did. Like,
oh, we got one World Cup team to play us.
Yeah, one World Cup team to play that's a host nation is now the other team that's already eliminated two teams in the whole World Cup. Like, I think he raised a good point. Moving forward, Canada Soccer needs to find a way, and I know there's logistical issues, whatever, to play world-class teams if you want to be world-class.
Do you think there'll be more of an appetite now for that because Canada is at least a bigger name globally now? They've got, you know, a little bit of...
People are going to want to F Canada
scandal.
Up.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not exactly scary anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there might have been...
You think
oh,
people were scared of Canada?
No, but maybe Belgium doesn't want to play... No, this is just... They wouldn't play them anyway because they're playing them at the tournament. But maybe Belgium... A team like Belgium doesn't want to get run off the pitch from an athletic standpoint in a nothing game, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't want the look, how that might look optically. But now Canada's... Maybe some of the shine is off a little bit, and you're maybe more open to, hey, yeah, we can test our talent against a team that's kind of disorganized.
I don't think that any team that isn't CONCACAF looked at Canada as like, ooh.
I think that's part of the problem, honestly.
Well, regardless,
I think there was
they
a bit of an unknown.
Teams.
I think there was a bit of an unknown, and it was just like, there has to be some other reason why they didn't find themselves in more competitive matches. I think there's a lot of reasons. I think Canada, and this is really my main concern. If Canada Soccer, if it's all on them to do it, if it's all on them to get them these opportunities, to put them in positions to get better, can we trust them? Can we trust this federation to make sure this team gets better? And part of it is booking more competitive
yes.
international friendlies. Again, they stumbled their way to Qatar. It was a disaster getting to that point. They got a game, as you mentioned, versus Qatar. They got a game, what, 5 days before the World Cup against Japan. They didn't get much.
But their
they
team's
didn't get the
not even fully, not their full players out against Japan.
They're constantly battling, it seems, with Bayern Munich about Alphonso Davies' readiness and ability. He missed half of qualifying.
But can't you still say that that's a point of pride to get here?
100%. But, like, we've been proud since they got in, what, 8 months ago?
I think that sometimes that's not a problem, but sometimes that's a way that we view... Like, we're really happy that we got here. Like, we're really happy that the Leafs
we're
win.
We're beyond that, are we not?
Yeah.
As a country,
the Leafs
we just
win.
What did we win, the Davis Cup?
Yeah, we did.
Davis Cup over the weekend.
We're like, happy the Leafs win one round of playoffs and get there. No, like, I think we need to set higher expectations. But we can still be proud that Canada got here. I think that's where I can be both.
I think a turning point for this country is not being satisfied, at least athletic, not being satisfied with just getting there.
Yes, that's the word I was
And that's
for.
Why I'm not satisfied with what we saw over two games.
Okay, then that's...
But we have to caution those to assume that this is going to be linear because you have to put in the work still. And Croatia really is a country and a situation that can give Canada hope. They got less than 4 million people in Croatia.
That's right.
It is mainly like beachfront. Like it's I love Croatia.
Do they
it's
have
beautiful.
A 590 station in Croatia?
I'm sure they do, and they're talking about John Herdman now.
Oh, they are.
But it is not like an overly convincing sporting infrastructure in the least. But they installed something that works. Mm. They installed a program which, from a population of 4 million, has produced world-class players. So it should give Canada hope that if you do the right things, it doesn't matter that most of the people in this country play hockey or... And that's not even true. Tons of people are playing soccer. But it is traditionally hockey, maybe then basketball, then soccer. Maybe, and soccer's on the rise, for sure. But you can, with less, do more. Croatia's been doing that for a very long time. And compared to Mexico and the U.S. and CONCACAF, Canada has a little less. But if you do the right things from an organization standpoint, you can make up those differences. And for them to take a step, it's on Canada Soccer. And I worry that they're not as sophisticated, even close, as the Croatian Soccer Federation or other teams like that. So it's on them. Pour the money in. What do you take home, $10.5 million?
They're taking home $10
million. It better not be to get custom suits again this summer. It better be in getting this team to the point that it needs to be competitive against a team like Croatia, because it wasn't it this year.
And we'll talk about all that with Jeff Blair, like what they need to focus on over the next 4 years. I think that this has been very eye-opening and telling for, as you said, some of the development areas that have not been focused on and that were exploited against some world-class teams. They have one more opportunity to, I think, put a bow on this. And I believe there will be a point of pride if they can do that, whether you look at this World Cup as a win or not, or they met expectations, they exceeded expectations. I'd love to know. 590, 590. Keep your texts coming all day. We'll read them on the air. Be a point of reflection. We still have one more game, but this is a tough one because it is all over in terms of importance. Let's touch on the Leafs here. They played a back-to-back Friday in daytime against Minnesota and Saturday night in Pittsburgh. Back-to-back wins, we talked about it at the top of the show. Mitch Marner just being the absolute catalyst of this team. You got to see a Murray and a Shalgren win. Marner's on a 16-game point streak, and it's looking like this team, lacking three of their best defensemen, have actually found a way for that to positively influence how they play defensively. And we talked about this last week, but it's getting even more and more evident that they're doing an incredible job shutting down.
Yeah, I mean, that patient approach that others outside of the market, namely guys like Frank Saravelli, took to the start of the season. Like, we're going to give him a chance to have a victory lap when he's on with us at 7, because, you know, I think one of the things that he was really pounding home was, you know, Sheldon Keefe's a great coach, so why is there so much noise around him? And the fact that without those three defensemen, as you mentioned, and with a offense that is performing very, very well, but still isn't at the peak of its powers, they're winning games in dominant fashion and doing it with a full and complete defensive buy-in. The fact that Matthews isn't scoring the way we expected isn't impacting his defensive game. The fact that Mitch Marner's on the point streak he's on doesn't mean that any of it's taken away from his defensive game, that he's cheating. In fact, his offense is coming from his defense. Mm-hmm. Oh, we always have a Leafs Selke discussion. And then you forget about Patrice Bergeron and the 16-3 Boston
Bruins. They're going to rename that trophy after
exactly.
him.
It is really, really encouraging. It's kind of, we can save this, but it's kind of getting me to the point where I'm rethinking the Muzzin replacement thing. I think we touched on this a little last week, but if you can play this well defensively because of your forwards, why not just embrace what you have and get a little bit more dangerous from an offensive perspective? If the strength of this team is your forwards, embrace it, because it doesn't matter who's back there. Clearly, it's laid out for you. It doesn't matter who's back there. You can get it done.
And some of them are on the cusp of returning.
As long as you're playing that well
defensively.
Like
this week, you could have TJ Brody back.
Yeah.
That will make a massive impact.
The only guy that might be a little uncomfortable with all this is Morgan Riley. Mm. Power play with Sandin looks pretty good.
Well, and have a little bit of a competitive edge. He did not, like, he was not a point of emphasis over the first 2 months of the season. Like, we were left wanting more from Morgan Riley. Now you're seeing people take your spot, come in and earn it and perform in that. You're a leader of this team. You're one of the core five. You're kind of the guy that's the captain without the C at times. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there watching this happen. Like, wouldn't you want to come back in and really establish your dominance. That's a good thing to have.
Doesn't it seem like he lives sort of outside this defensive philosophy? Like the way that they're playing right now is not like Morgan Riley's game.
No, and he's like encouraged.
He's encouraged to do things differently, and yet this is what works really well.
Interesting.
I wonder if like Morgan's got to just, and this is,
so
this
you
is
think
a
he'll
Keefe
be
thing.
Healthy scratched?
No. I just think I think maybe Keefe's got to be like, okay, let's put the reins back on a little bit, yep. And let's do what, you know, Rasmus Sandin is doing really well right now. Timothy Liljegren is doing really well right now. Mark Giordano is doing really well right now. I'm going to ask Frank if Mark Giordano is the best contract in the league, because based on what he's provided, what he's done for the Leafs at 800 grand, I mean, indispensable, unbelievable contribution for what it is. And I guess that's a major discount. But even then, I mean, it's closer to Norris caliber for him lately.
Rasmus Sandin playing way better with his increased time on ice. He led all these players with 23 or 24 minutes on the weekend. He's risen to the occasion, and we just hope for a little consistency with that.
If there's a single most encouraging thing, I think it's Sandin and Liljegren.
Yeah.
Because you kind of need them to be your second pair eventually, and right now they are, and they're playing really well.
We got Leafs back in action tonight on the road versus Detroit Red Wings before returning home on Wednesday. You got the Toronto Raptors at home versus the Cavs, and obviously Monday Night Football, Steelers and Colts tonight. Looks like the Raptors are on the mend. According to Michael Grange, Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam were both active at practice on Sunday. So fingers crossed we get to see some more players that are in the regular lineup. Delano Banton also practiced, but Otto Porter Jr. shed his walking boot. So we are turning the corner, fingers crossed, Raptors fans, that we actually get 75% of a lineup sometime soon, and Scotty Barnes still questionable tonight against Cleveland. So I'm feeling a little bit more positive about where this Raptors team lines up. They play tonight and Wednesday and a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. So they got a lot of games ahead, so maybe don't push it too much, but they got to get healthy. And all this will be important for the Wake and Rake. So send in your Wake and Rake submissions at 590-590. Three games to really choose from today. We'll have some World Cup action as well. There's one game on right now, and I turned my head. It was 1-1, and I looked down, and it's 3-3.
Yeah, it kind of... Serbia gave up two goals very, very quickly. One appeared like it was obviously offside, and people stopped playing, and it was counted as a goal.
Right.
And Cameroon scored the equalizer right after that. So 3-3, we might have an exciting 12 minutes to finish here between Serbia and Cameroon, who are both in the bottom of the group right now. So 3 points important to both.
All right. Our guest for today, before we take a break and go into the A-list, we have our guy, Frank Cervelli, who we owe some credit to for... being calm and composed, which is his job. Ross Tucker at 7:30 and Jeff Blair at 8 o'clock. We'll take a break and we'll do the A-list. It's a Fan Morning Show with Justin and A-list. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 5 at 90, The Fan. 590, 590 all day long. How are you feeling about Team Canada losing and ending their competitive part of the World Cup ahead of their game Thursday, which they have a chance to play spoiler, which is an exciting little bow on their World Cup against Morocco at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know, 590, 590. We'll read your texts. We'll give you the platform.
What gives you hope? What... you know, it makes you discouraged. Mm-hmm. Where are you at on the fence? Like whatever your thought is, I think it's worth talking about, because these are new emotions. That's what I couldn't even really tell you how I felt. I it was mostly negative. I was trying to like distill it. It was hard though. It was kind of conflicting.
Let's do the A-list, cause it's got some World Cup juice in it.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
So we remember when Saudi Arabia shocked the sporting world last week, beating Argentina 2-1 at the World Cup. This was last Tuesday, before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that Saudi Arabia's country, or I don't know.
Government?
Their Prince Mohammed will present each of the players a Rolls-Royce Phantom when they return from Qatar as a reward for the stunning defeat of Argentina. A Rolls-Royce Phantom starts at $560,000 Canadian dollars.
Mm.
That's probably just the stock model. Just no customization. Take it from the box.
Stock's pretty good with the Rolls-Royce Phantom.
I think you'll be happy about it. Very rich country, as we know.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with the methods in which you get rich, they mm-hmm. will be rewarding their nation for their biggest win in soccer history.
Like it's, yeah, I mean, it's try to got, not get too excited about, you know, the Saudi it's Arabian government throwing money around because, you know, if this was a live conversation, it would be a different tone. It is a remarkable achievement from them. I'm glad the players
yes.
can, you know, have that moment first and foremost. I'm glad they get rewarded for it. I would like to see maybe a little balance here because this is what I'm worried about with Canada's lack of funding. And there might
say,
be like a Rolls-Royce Phantom to share amongst the entire
everybody
team.
Everybody gets it for a month.
Yeah, over. That's kind of the situation
what
I think that
the equivalent
Canada's facing.
Of if Canada upset Brazil or advanced, and the Canadian government had no limit.
Ski-dos for everybody.
No limit in money.
No limit.
Well, okay, well, Saudi Arabia money, okay? There's not really
I don't know. I don't know what it
What's
would be.
Equivalent?
What would it be? I think it's got to be something winterized.
Ford F-150s. Juiced up
towing
with snow
ability.
Tires.
It has to be towing ability, yeah. Not, I don't even know what you do in a Rolls-Royce Phantom. You pull
you
up in red carpets
sit at
with it.
Yorkville, and you...
Yeah.
Drive around in circles like Drake.
You don't take it out like 8 or 10 months out of the year in Canada because it'll
no.
get dirty.
Maybe a little Ford F-150 action for the Canadian team.
I think that's appropriate.
If they were to win.
Although.
And that's more affordable for us.
It wasn't really a blue collar effort. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh. I like the Ski-Dos.
Ski-Dos.
That's good.
Dog sleds.
Oh.
Snowshoes?
Snowshoes are cheap.
Oh.
All right. So they did defeat Argentina. And the star player, Messi, is apparently rumored to be closing in on a deal to be the highest paid player in MLS history.
Mm-hmm.
Set to join Miami next summer. This is yet to be confirmed, but the rumors, the speculations, the rumblings are all over the internet. And Messi, 35-year-old, could be... sunning himself in Miami playing MLS football.
And, of course, Ronaldo is connected to Messi, mm-hmm. and there's a connection to Saudi Arabia. Apparently, there's some interest in the Saudi Arabian government throwing the massive bag at Ronaldo to leave. Well, he's already left Manchester United, but to end up playing in the Saudi League. So, you know, we always knew this was like the end of an era, this tournament, in a lot of ways.
It'd be pretty cool if he was in MLS, though.
It would be cool if Messi was there. It's certainly
sell tickets.
Certainly sell tickets. So like coming through to Toronto, that'll be an event for sure when he plays at TFC at BMO Field.
Oh my God, imagine.
But this is kind of the end for like two of the great footballers of all time. This is the last World Cup. I think they've been at five each, or at least in that, I think Ronaldo's been, I don't know if Messi was at five each, five as well. But yeah, kind of the reminder that the end of an era here, Ronaldo and Messi going on to the second stages or the latter stage of their career. As soon as right after this World Cup with the MLS, which is always good for us, but you know, it does signal that it's the competitive days are largely over for old Messi.
The amount of money is not disclosed, but it was reported that David Beckham reportedly made $250 million during his time in LA. Some of that was sponsorship deals. So I don't know where you fall on how much Messi will make, but apparently the highest paid.
Yeah. I don't know how, It had to be sponsorship stuff.
Yeah.
Like David
reportedly
Beckham
made $250 million during his time with LA, but that was mostly sponsorship deals.
Timing is everything, and David Beckham definitely took advantage of his short stint at MLS.
He was smart.
Yeah, because you can't make that on the old salary cap. I don't care. Designated players, it doesn't matter. You're not making that much.
Speaking of soccer,
they'll
football,
find a way to pay him, though.
Our soccer report is brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro. All the way.
Yeah, and Argentina bounced back with a win over Mexico on the weekend. Full slate. We won't run down everything that happened over the weekend. But Japan losing to Costa Rica, Australia, the Socceroos getting a victory.
Socceroos,
I said it earlier,
baby.
On even the bottom end, like everyone's kind of getting at least some cookies here at the World Cup, except for Canada, at least for now. Right now, we're in stoppage time, the second minute of stoppage time between Cameroon and Serbia at 3-3. And later on today, we'll get South Korea and Ghana, Brazil and Switzerland, a big one, and Portugal and Uruguay. We'll talk about those games in our Wake and Rake. This soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. Frank Saravelli after the break. We'll talk a little Leafs. We'll talk a little NHL. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.